it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I want to congratulate you on your television appearance last night.
Thank you.
And your award for, by far, biggest microphone to ever show up on the show.
Yeah, it was pretty large microphone that I've got there. But I got to make sure that the voice sounds good for you guys, and I think it did.
The velvet tones of Robbie Stanley.
Did you tweet about this? I miss this. What?
I did not tweet about it. I don't know if Corey did or not.
I did
not. But, you know, we got a 6 a.m. radio show. It's time to go to bed.
Well, right, yeah. I could have taped it or something. I mean, I normally watch Corey anyway, but I'm just saying, like, I would have paid special attention.
Could have taped it.
You guys got to, like, promote things, you know? Let us know.
You know, I did fail, and there's failure on my part. I don't know if Julian did or not, because Julian's actually the one who talked to him.
He is. So.
Okay.
Go back, check it out.
I will. I'll find it.
It's our new weekend sports anchor, Julian Minnenson.
Well, it's going to win an Emmy, I'm sure, so you can catch it at the end of the year, too.
Yes.
Biggest microphone.
Yes. Best microphone in television goes to Robbie Stanley. No doubt about that. Yep. So, Corey, we threw this out there earlier. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. And my question of the day for Titans fans, which is going to get exhausting between now and the draft, but it is what it is. In this exercise, you're not allowed to trade back. So who are you taking at number one overall today? Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, or Shedeur Sanders? Those are your options.
Can I narrow it to two?
You can.
I think I'm down to Abdul Carter and Cam Ward.
Okay, interesting.
Because if I'm going to go quarterback, I think I'm going Cam Ward. But if I'm not going quarterback, I like Abdul Carter. The scenario I like best, though, is trading back to 3 and then trading back to 4.
I'm with you, but that was not a part of my exercise.
No, that would be phenomenal.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You said trading back to 3 and trading back to 4?
Yeah, trading back to 3 and then flopping with Vrabel at 4.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay. Yes. Like, Vrabel get a lot of picks and the Titans.
What?
Get a lot of picks that way.
Yeah, well, that's my whole point. And you're still getting – look, if you did that, you'd be picking at 4 and you'd still be getting Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
I like that.
So, on the quarterback – Is that a change for you, Corey, or have you been a Cam over Shedeur guy all along?
You know, just from what I've watched, and I need to watch more. There's more to it than arm strength and arm talent. We've seen with quarterbacks over the years. I mean, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks with a lot of arm talent who don't make it because at this level. You know, so much of it is what goes on between your ears and how fast all that works and your decision-making ability. But just when I look at, you know, athleticism and arm talent, I like Cam Ward better right now. I don't know that I'm convinced he's worthy of the first pick of the draft, but I just I like his ability more. Now, I need to learn more about the mental makeup of both guys. And their ability to make decisions under pressure, their abilities to diagnose quickly, and handle those things. But I just think from a talent basis, I like him better.
So, Corey, we all know it's been a while since the Titans have really hit on a draft. 2019, they nailed it, and it was really good. And then, you know, they eventually traded away one of those guys, but that's neither here nor there.
For success.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think obviously a lot of the drafts since then have been bad. This latest one, the jury is still out. But with those two guys specifically in the latest draft with Latham and Sweat, what's your evaluation after 1 year? Kind of where are you with those two heading into next season?
Well, I think with Latham, you know, you got some, you solidified that position largely. I mean, compared to what we saw the last 2 years. And it got better Skoronski got better as the year went on. And so, you know, those two got better to working together. And then what was about the last 4 weeks, he kind of hit the wall. I think he had a thigh injury and I think I think the length of the season got to him a little bit. So I'm not worried about J.C. Latham. Is he going to be an elite level, you know, top three tackle? I don't know. But I do think he will be a good football player, you know, for a long time, and we'll see what level, you know, he hits for them. You know, for Sweat, I mean, I think Sweat is a good player. I think they can get more from him, you know, in the pass rush game, or need to get a little bit more from him in the pass rush game. I think he had one sack last year. But, you know, as they say, you know, everybody always says, well, sacks aren't everything. They aren't, but they're really helpful. I mean, like, you know, Brian Callahan said, first down sacks are the bane of his existence, okay? You know, because negative plays for a loss, you know, are drive wreckers. And so, you know, he was very good in the run game. He was very durable, which was also encouraging. I know Jared does not believe he's worthy of the second-round draft pick. He was a starter. He was productive. He was not a problem. And I think he will continue to get better. I think those are two solid selections. You'd like for one of those guys to be a Pro Bowl caliber player, though.
Yeah, like at this point, you know, I'd lean Jared's way on that in terms of I think he was fine. There's promise there, but you definitely want to see a jump, right, with Sweat.
Absolutely. And he's a young guy, so we'll wait and we'll see. I mean, you know, he's got physical ability, and I think the other thing is you know, you talk to these guys, and you know the ones who want to be great, and I think he's a guy who wants to be great, and so I'm anxious to see what he does in year two. If year two is disappointing, then that's really concerning, because, you know, these guys learn what it takes to be a pro that first year, and we'll see how they implement it in year two.
If you were just looking at the Titans, Corey, in terms of positional need, how what would you say are the top four, and how would you rank them?
Well, I mean, obviously they've got to solidify the quarterback position. They need a right tackle. They need edge rushers.
Four gets interesting.
Yeah, because you could say right guard, you could say middle linebacker, and you could say strong safety, right?
And still not saying receiver. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they can use receiver, but, I mean, like, they have starters there, right? I mean, they've got a starter in Calvin Ridley. They don't have a starter at tackle. They don't have – I mean, I guess at middle linebacker is such a – I hate to say easy position to replace, but it really kind of is. So what did I have? I had quarterback, right tackle, edge. Okay. So number one, they got to get quarterback figured out. Otherwise you can't go anywhere. They really need edge help. I mean, they really do. I mean, they were one of the lowest sacking teams in the league. And that's why I like Abdul Carter, because I think he can be Vontae Mack. I think he can revolutionize their defense. But we saw how difficult it is to play offense with only half of a line. So, you know, they need both. I think it's easier to find a right tackle than it is a quality edge. So I'll go quarterback, edge, right tackle. And then, should we go wide receiver fourth?
Corey, last thing for you. The Nashville Predators lost both games over the weekend.
Four in a row.
They've lost four in a row overall. They are 16 points as of this morning out of a playoff spot. So we know, I mean, the playoffs are not happening. They're not going to approach a playoff spot. The deadline is coming up. Trades have already started to happen in the NHL. What's your take on the season they've had to this point and where things go from here?
Now, you're setting me up for this one because you know my answer.
I do.
It's the most disappointing season in Predators history. I mean, it just is. I mean, they have not – the highest pick they've ever had is 4 outside of their first year. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
When they picked Seth Jones. I mean, so, look, they're in position – for the highest draft pick that they've had since their inaugural season. And they were supposed to be a team that, if everything went right, could contend for the Stanley Cup. So it's a massively, massively disappointing season. I think it's also a massively disappointing season because this was a team that scored a lot of goals last year, and you thought with the addition of Marchessault and Stamkos, that would not be a problem this year, but they are one of the lowest scoring teams in hockey this year. And their goalie, who has been stellar most of his career, has not been consistent. So all of the things that you were counting on did not happen. And I don't know that anyone has a good reason why. And Barry has, you know, largely allowed it to stay together. And, you know, They got a little run together against some bad teams and then they ended up petering out against some bad teams. I mean, shoot, they lost to – who did they lose to here? Anaheim and
– Buffalo.
I mean, even
– Pittsburgh.
Buffalo, yeah. And Pittsburgh's not even a very good team this year. So, you know, they're done. They're horribly disappointing. I'm sure they're horribly disappointed. I'm not saying that anything that's going to offend anybody. What they've got to decide is – what has to change next year? They've got some contracts that I don't believe they can get rid of. But to me, it's more about the makeup of the team because what they're getting isn't enough. And I don't know if it's as far as the grit goes. I think they are just not getting near enough from the second, third, and fourth lines. If we remember, Colton Sissons had a career year last year. And how many goals does he have this year? 6, 8?
I don't even know if he's got that many. Yeah, I need to go look.
Yeah. I mean, Luke Evangelista, we thought he would be a 20-goal scorer this year. He is not in double figures. Tommy Novak, what does he have, 9 goals?
And they've mostly come in the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, and 7 of them have come when it didn't really matter. So a bunch of the guys that they got goals from last year who you were counting on this year, you know, you have not gotten nearly enough from. I won't pin it completely on them because I don't know the scenario of, you know, why they would say it hasn't happened for them, whether it be, the guys they're skating with, that they've been snake bit, whatever. You know, after, 50, 60 games, you're not snake bit. You're just struggling, okay? This is a really long answer for – it's a disastrous season, a disaster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to argue that. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff. Go buy you a microphone that looks like mine, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, I do television, so people need to see my face when I'm on, so I can't possibly buy a microphone that big. Two things before I go, because I always like to monopolize your time.
Sure.
I'm very relieved to hear Another Biscuit has returned.
A lot of people are.
And I think we have learned that being Andy Reid's offensive coordinator is pretty much the equivalent to being Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator. It does not make you a genius.
It does not.
That is a fair point.
It does not. Thank you, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.
Later.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say there on the Titans and the Preds. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Dunkin' fans, come experience the new age of Dunkin' at the grand opening of their newly remodeled Brentwood location at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane this Friday. Dunkin' will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line starting at 8 a.m. That's right, 100 days of free coffee for the first 100 people. Plus, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting live from 6 to 9 a.m. Have Preds tickets to give away as well. Enjoy your Dunkin' favorites in the bakery case, breakfast all day, $5 meal deals, and, of course, that delicious Dunkin' coffee. That's the grand opening of the Dunkin' this Friday in Brentwood coming up at 8 o'clock. We will be out there on Friday, so looking forward to seeing everybody out there. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, Robbie, man? Joe, I'm with you, man. If I hear my own voice, it makes me want to puke. There's nothing, like, cringier about it. And I don't know what I want. Like, if I hear it, I'll start lowering my voice, trying to talk, like, smoother, deeper. It's just natural response, dude. But, I sound stupid, man. I hate that so much. But that's not
I hear my voice, and I get, I get louder. Let's just embrace it.
Yeah. It's super weird, right? And it's like it's not even the same guy. All right, here's my thing, man. So the Titans back in the day, so 98 to 99 heading into that season, I'm thinking what were their needs before they went in there? I don't think defensive end. I mean, yeah, they needed a D-end, but to get Javon, which was a tight end, converted to D-end at 16, was an incredible pick. The next year, they end up getting an incredible player in Keith Bullock at 30. I miss those days because I still, even though we're getting, you know, if we were to trade back to four and get a slew of picks, I'm still not confident we're going to get the right player at four, which scares me. But what I don't want, and this is kind of the question I have for you guys, I think Abdul Carter would be a sweet pick. Like, the more I hear about him, the more I want that to be the pick. What I don't want is for, and what's his name? And you guys will know this better than me. These players that have never played the position but get drafted super high for that position. If you remember, the Titans had Chris Henry in the second round, a running back who never played running back before just because he worked out good. What is that? Why do they do that? I can't understand for the life of me how these guys get drafted into positions they never played. The reason I think of it is because I think of Travis Hunter, and, like, he could do both positions, yeah, but, like, what is he really a number one at, you know? So it kind of got me thinking about that, and I'm like, why would these guys ever draft a player who's never played that position? Gonna kind of get your thoughts on that, dude.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate
Matt
it.
Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Arkansas quarterback.
Yeah.
Jags. Duval.
Receiver.
Well done. He'll try to do that every show.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, look, we want to get technical about it. The Titans just drafted somebody who didn't play a position in college that they're playing in the NFL, and J.C. Latham. That's tackle.
Yeah,
they're on the other side, yeah. Right? I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but it is.
It's a change.
Different.
Yeah. Now, offensive line. That does, like offensive line. There's a lot of tackles become guards.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
I mean, offensive line. So. But, no, that's a fair point. I mean, yeah.
Terrell Pryor was a quarterback, and then he was a wide receiver. So,
yep.
There's that.
Yep. So, no, look, I absolutely look at Hunter, and, again, I think he's elite as a corner. I really don't think he's going to be – I think he would be a very good to very good receiver in the NFL. That's not – a good to very good receiver in the NFL, I'm not using that pick on that.
Corey Curtis points out Brian Urlacher, who was originally, I believe, a safety when he was at New Mexico. And is
a punt-returning safety.
Yeah, and was a middle linebacker in the NFL.
That's a good point.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah. But
sometimes you try to make Tim Tebow a tight end, and it doesn't work.
Sometimes Tim Tebow should have been a tight end all along. No, he was good in college.
Won a playoff game as quarterback.
He did. Just
throwing that out there.
Insane. It only took 9 seconds for him to wind up to throw the football.
But let me tell you, that playoff game, when he finally wound up, that ball was on a strike.
Yeah, it was. I got to give him credit.
Marius Thomas just going across the field. What a game.
What a time. Yeah, I'm looking back at those now that Adam, you know, brought up those old drafts, the Floyd. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously the freak there with that first pick and then Bullock with the first pick. And like you said, 16 and 30, back-to-back drafts. Yeah.
Well, by the way, in 2002, they drafted Albert Haynesworth as well. It was a pretty good run they had drafting with Floyd Reese.
They did. And, you know, even going like Samari Roll in the second round in 98. And, you know, a starting guard in the fifth round in Benji Olsen.
Well, that doesn't even factor in McNair and Eddie George in the mid-90s. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was a pretty good build to get to where they got.
And even, again, 97, our latest entry into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, D-Mace, goes in the fourth round at 98 90, in 1997. And, yeah, so you had a good run there for sure. It's, yeah, Haynesworth number one, that's pretty good. You know, there's some misses in there, too. But I mean, if you can, I mean, if you can come up, yeah, you know, like last year's with the Titans. Yeah, he's got a chance still to end up being pretty good. And I guess then it'll just be
Unfire Rant.
Yeah, it'll just be that was really Chad. Rant. Chad was really the
come
one.
Come on
there.
Back.
Yeah. I think he's still hanging around here, right? At least give him some appreciation. Appreciate Ran. Let Ran.
You think he watched Kendrick Lamar win all those Grammys last night?
Oh. I don't know. I hope so.
No, I just
did the playlist change?
I don't know. 615-737.
I didn't even know. I have no idea what happened in the Grammys last night. I have no idea.
We're all better for it, not knowing.
But I like the live performances. I just wasn't able to watch.
I've said this before. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the Grammys, the Oscars, the NHL awards, doesn't matter. The award shows drive me nuts. I just can't do it.
See, I've always been into the Oscars, or I used to be, because I just, into movies.
Yeah.
And the Grammys are worthless awards, but they have performances that are good sometimes.
Do
you know of any of them last night?
No.
Well, you know Kendrick Lamar won Grammys.
I saw where Kendrick Lamar won. Okay. The only reason I saw it is because apparently Taylor Swift started dancing when he got up on stage, and my wife was like, hey, look at Taylor Swift dancing. I was like, oh, cool. Great.
All right. I'm sure we have it recorded.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans. I guess we can take your thoughts on the Grammys if you wanted to get those as well.
Sure.
We will also get back into the Nashville Predators. Throwing out that question for today. If you're Bill Haslam watching all this go down this year, what are you thinking? What's next for the Nashville Predators? All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 the game. I got a 4-pack of wristbands to give away to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show at the Opryland Convention Center Thursday, February the 13th through Saturday, February the 15th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show. Let me tell you, I've been in this thing a few times. There's a ton of people there. There's a ton of vendors, ton of booths. It's awesome. So you're going to want to show up to it. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025.
Sorry. You going to be there?
Again? I will not be there for this one. I will be out of town for this one. But I have been there, four times.
You've been a regular.
I've been a regular at the National Wild Turkey Federation Sports Show. It's awesome.
It sounds amazing.
I have heard, I don't know if it's still the case, but at one time, their biggest convention of the entire year over at Opryland. We'll see.
That's a big deal. There's a lot of conventions. A
lot of conventions.
A lot of size. A lot of room. Hey, before we get into the Preds, let me I need to give Kyle Tucker a little, he's an unpaid show researcher.
Yes.
He's like Dennis, unpaid show graphic designer. So here's his list of non-QBs taken number one the last 25 years.
Okay.
2006, Mario Williams, 4 times Pro Bowler. 2008, Jake Long, 4 times Pro Bowler. 2013, Eric Fisher, 2 times Pro Bowler. I wouldn't say a good player, not a number one overall pick career, but he was good.
Yeah.
2014, Jadeveon Clowney. He did make the Pro Bowl 3 times. I would say he did not live up to number one.
Titans legend.
Yes. 2017, Myles Garrett has absolutely lived up to number one and then some. And then 2022, Trevon Walker. And this is an interesting stat from Kyle. Excellent research, Kyle. 20.5 sacks the last 2 years. And that's better than I would have guessed. I still think he's not number one pick. It's interesting that you've got pass rushers or people who stop pass rushers are the only non-QBs in the last 25 years.
That is
number one overall.
Yeah. No corner, no wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
That's probably going to change.
Where did Calvin Johnson go?
It could change this year. It was high, but it was probably 3 or 4, something like that, would be my guess. Lions were consistently.
He was second.
Buns.
Second overall.
Okay.
In the 2007 draft.
Yeah, he'd be a number one pick worthy player, say.
He would.
Hunter could be a number one pick at a corner this year. Jeremiah Smith could probably be the number one pick now if he somehow were allowed to come out. So that might change in the
– I want you to think about this this 2007 draft. I mean, I know the then Oakland Raiders needed a quarterback at the time, but, they took Jamarcus Russell that year.
Oh, yeah.
Here's who went right behind him. Calvin Johnson at 2, Joe Thomas at 3, Adrian Peterson at 7, Patrick Willis at 11, Marshawn Lynch at 12, Darrell Revis at 14. A lot of really good players in the top half of that draft. Jamarcus Russell, not one of them.
Well, Raiders, I guess it's been quite a run for the Raiders.
Yes.
And there's one of the highlights.
That goes to show you, though. I mean, sometimes that number one pick can just be an absolute disaster if you don't use it right.
Yeah.
Good gracious.
Was that around the time that the Raiders fired 19-year-old head coach Lane Kiffin, too?
I think it may have been, yeah.
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 Heck of an error.
Remember when he attempted, like, the 73-yard field goal with Sebastian Janikowski? He ended up, like, 15 yards short.
It's
like, wow. Do you think you had the wind at your back there, Lane? What are you doing?
Hey, man. Janikowski, great member of my fantasy football teams for many years. I picked him way too high for a kicker.
So, on the Predators, they've lost four in a row, as you heard Corey Curtis lay out earlier this hour. They are 16 points, as we sit here today, out of a playoff spot. Depending on where you look, I mean, the math on this is, I mean, they're borderline no chance to make a playoff push at this point. So, we know that. They're 51 games in. There are 31 games remaining. What's interesting about the timing of this right now is the NHL trading deadline is not until early March. And that seems like that's still a significant distance away. But they play this week. They got three games this week. Tonight, on Friday in Chicago, and then on Saturday at home against Buffalo. And then they're off for 2 weeks. They've got 2 week break because of the Four Nations tournament. So when you get out of that 2 week break, the trade deadline is going to be right around the corner. Like, it's going to be right there. So the trades have already started to go in the NHL. We know that Rantanen got traded, Natchez in a huge trade last week. JT Miller got traded on Friday, so we talked about the Pettersson-JT Miller crap.
Bye, Petey.
Last week. He's gone. So Miller back to the Rangers. You know, Mikael Granlund got traded in a much less sizable deal from the Sharks to the Stars.
Dallas feels better now.
So that nice Granlund-Duchesne combo in Dallas is back together. So I say all that to say the trades have picked up in the NHL. If you're Barry Trotz, do you operate under the assumption that it looks like a lot of these other teams are, which is, yeah, let's go ahead and make some of these moves and get it in before the Four Nations break so there's at least some time here for everybody to start to adjust? Or do you wait as long as you can if you're Barry Trotz and try to maximize some of this? If it was me, if I was Barry Trotz, I would probably start looking to make moves right now, this week. Like, I think now's the time to get in there and strike, whether that's a Nyquist. I don't know if they have interest in trading Sissons or not, but I think people would be interested in him, listen to that. I've heard Elliot Friedman throw this out there. Would somebody be interested in Michael McCarron? You're not getting a ton for him, but is that something you'd like to do? Jeremy Lauzon on the back end. There's not a ton of guys I think the Predators are going to be able to trade, but the ones that you are, is now the time to do it if you're Barry Trotz. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Sure. Yeah, look, there's no reason to not do it because you think you have any chance the rest of this year.
Yeah.
And I can't believe – I mean, and maybe – I'll be very interested, actually. I'll be very interested for Barry Trotz talking to Stilley this week. Because even last week it was, you know, if we can just inch into this thing, and of course you're going to hold out hope as long as possible. I don't think you can possibly try to sell that to the public anymore. It's over. So – if that's the case, then, yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, it's all about the return and timing and, obviously you're not going to do anything if you don't love the return. You don't have to. But
sure.
I think that this week we should start putting the heads on swivels because it could start happening.
And now, look, I think we've been here realistically for a while at this point. But now, like, there's really no doubt. Like, if you wanted to a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it.
Yeah, like they won five in a row.
A couple weeks ago, they won five in a row, and I think they got up to like 12 points back of a playoff spot. And the conversation we had was, like, could you cut it to 7 or 8 by the time the Four Nations break came around? That way you would have a chance. Still a long shot, but a chance coming down after the break here. Well, now you just don't. Like, you're 16 points out of a playoff spot. You're not making the playoffs. And I think what has now become the foundational question is, all right, is this a one-off? Is this a one-year thing where they have just had everything possibly go wrong? They've had all these guys playing poorly at the same time, and next year they're going to snap out of it and they're going to be back to being the team that we thought they were going to be this year. Are they that? Or is this gone on long enough now where you're saying this is fundamentally flawed the way they've built the team and they're in serious trouble moving forward? You got to do something drastic to get out of it. I don't for sure know what the answer to that question is. I do know when you start asking those questions, pretty quickly it gets back to the coach. So I think this on Andrew Brunette. I think it's February the 3rd. To me, at this point in season, it makes no sense to do anything. Like, I don't think it really serves you any purpose to fire the coach right now in season. Do you consider it at the end of the year? I think you have to. Like, I think with as poorly as things have gone this year, you have to consider it and really evaluate your coaching staff at the end of the year. I think, Joe, at the very minimum, when you have a season like this with the expectations being what they were, if he's back next year, which if I had to guess right now, I think he will be. If he's back next year, I think you enter into next season if you're Andrew Brunette on a pretty short leash. Like this 2 years in a row of starting really slowly out of the gate, that you will not survive that next year if you're Andrew Brunette. And I think that probably is the way it should be if you decide to bring him back. You can't have that 3 years in a row.
Right. Yeah, no, I think I agree. You know, you evaluate it, anything's possible. I mean, they let John Hines sit there for a few weeks, tidy up his office, and then decide to fire him, you know, a couple summers ago. Obviously a different situation. I'm just saying, you know, you could decide to make the move, but it's probably, I think, much more likely that he comes back next year. I think that's fair, and it's fair that they would be – like, going into next year, the hot seat list come out when the season starts, and he'll be probably at the very top of that.
Yes.
If he's not at the top, very close to the top, and that's fair. And, yeah, like two straight years, terrible starts last year around this time, but they weren't in nearly the bad position they're in now. They started to absolutely tear it up, but you have to figure something else out. You have to figure out how to start well, and if you don't, then they're going to try to find a bump, and they're going to move on. I guess the question is, you know, that happens a lot in this league. Is there another coach out there? We know there's all the familiar names and faces that have had three or four head coaching jobs that you know, there's always somebody like that available. But is there stylistically another coach out there or something like that who might fit better with this group that comes to mind for you?
Well, and is it that, or is this just a roster thing that's a problem? Because if it's that, then I think that's a much more difficult situation to get yourself out of. And look, it may be that. Like, they've got a lot of old guys. We've talked about that. Like, their forward core is old. Now, it's going to change, right? Like, Nyquist is probably going to be gone here in the next couple of weeks. You know, you can move Sissons if you want. Like, you can make your forward core specifically younger in some ways. They've done that on defense. They have made their defense core younger. You can do that at forward to a certain degree, but the big money guys, I don't think, are going anywhere. Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault. Like, those guys at forward are not going anywhere. So they're going to have to be a huge part of your solution. And the question is, can they be next year? That's where they're at right now.
It's just getting late for so many people.
It is. It's getting late. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on the Preds? If you're Bill Haslam, how do you feel about the way this is shaking out? And is this a one-year downturn for the Predators, or is this symptomatic of what they are right now? We'll get more into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. A lot of different thoughts on the Predators on our text line. Appreciate the participation today here on the program. Joey from Bellevue says, this is what they are. Their core players are all in their mid-30s, and they're only getting older. Doug in Franklin says, if you're going to fire a coach at the end of the year, you fire him now to let the new coach have half a year to install his system. That said, Barry Trotz has preached patience, so I think that's the way he's going to go. No one is better suited to evaluate a coach than he is. This is from Doug in Franklin on the text line. I could pretty much guarantee, I mean, they're not firing Andrew Brunette now. Like, it's in the middle of the year. This is not even the middle of the year. We're getting into the late part of the year. I don't think they're doing that now.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, I'm not going to discount that possibility.
Yeah, the whole install the system during the season, I mean, it's just, eh. You do it in season, which happens a lot in the league, if you, like, it's like your last resort to try to get a team going.
Yeah. And we're past that.
Yeah. The team is not going anywhere.
They're not going. I mean, I am really interested to see, number one, when the sell-off begins, and number two, how deep down the rabbit hole they go of it. Like, we've talked about O'Reilly. I think I would give it a less than 5% chance that they trade Ryan O'Reilly. But I do, like, having said that, I think you have to have a price. And if somebody meets the price that you're looking for Ryan O'Reilly, I would consider it. Now, he's got 2 years left on his contract, so I wouldn't come off my price either. Like, Gus Nyquist, you need to trade. And you might have a goal of what you want to get out of that. You may get it, you may not get it. Either way, you need to trade him because you're not re-signing him. You need to get something for him. O'Reilly, it's not the same situation. He's got 2 years left on his deal. If you don't love what you're getting in return, then you just don't do it right now if you're the Predators. But there are certain guys right now that, like, some way, somehow, Joe, they got to churn this roster a little bit. Like, you can't, to me, coming back with largely the exact same thing intact next year as to what they have right now would be a mistake. Whether that's being active again in free agency, pursuing a trade. I mean, hopefully, like at this point, if you're a Predators fan, you're probably hoping, well, finish 30th, 31st in the league and have a good opportunity to land one of those high draft picks that you never get that we always talk about. Like, that player could be a part of your team next year too, theoretically.
Yes. And that gets interesting too, the whole Brunette needs to, I think, demonstrate as much success as he can the rest of the year. You know, this team wants to play well. Those guys in the room are not going to, you know, they don't give a crap. Again, you know, just like pro athletes don't give a crap about your draft pick fan stuff. But from a Trotz perspective, you know, from an ownership perspective, can you sell? Again, how much can you really do? But getting a little younger, again, you move a couple, you know, you move Nyquist, move Sissons, whatever, yep. You know, you get younger. Yeah, is it the worst thing in the world to be a little young, a little bit, vulnerable, a little bit losing a lot, a little bit making sure that you get one of those top picks?
I don't think
it
is.
It could be really helpful.
Well, and here's the other thing. They've got 3 first-round picks this year. They've got theirs, which is right now looking like the cream of the crop of those first-round picks. They also have Tampa's, and they have Vegas's. Now, Vegas is really good, and Vegas is going to finish, like, if it was me having to identify somebody to come out of the West right now, they would probably be my pick. So they're going to finish high. Tampa is interesting. Tampa, at the moment, is not a playoff team. Now, it's the Eastern Conference. They have, like, 6 teams that are all kind of jumbled up right there together.
Watch out for those Red Wings.
Red Wings are one of those teams.
The Winged Wheel, baby.
The Winged Wheel is one of those teams. But they're all kind of right there together fighting for a spot. But let's say they miss the playoffs. You could have 2 top 16 picks there if you're the Predators in the first round, which that would be very nice to have that.
Yeah. So what if you finish outside of the top 3? There's no way you're getting in there.
Right? Probably not. I mean, you could try.
Package all of them to try to get in the top 3?
Yeah, I mean, you could try it. It's probably – I mean, teams just largely in the NHL just don't do that.
If they have a chance at a clear difference maker, they're going
to
take
it. Well, like Barry Trotz has made it known. Like, he's talked about it. He's tried to get in the top 5 the last 2 years, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to happen. But, like, to me
– So, lose.
Yeah, like, obviously, you'd like to – you don't have to be the worst team in the league in the NHL to end up with the number 1 overall pick. You can win the draft lottery. And if you are the worst team in the league, it's not guaranteed that that's going to work out for you. To me, if you end up anywhere in the top 3, then you're going to probably walk away with that with a player that you feel really good about, whether that's Michael Misa, James Hagans, or both forwards, or the Matthew Schaefer kid, who's a defenseman who continues to be compared to Cale Makar. So
I'm sure that's fair. I'm sure, you know.
They've said his skating is Cale Makar like. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a high bar.
It is a very high bar. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Senators. An early puck drop tonight. So if you're going to the game, it's at 6:30 tonight. So keep that in mind. We'll have pregame at 5:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Stilly is out at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, so make sure you're tuned in for that.
Yeah, Stilly.
That does it for us. Chasing Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.